Hello, and welcome to the Bridgespan Group's podcast, The Growing Influence of Eco-Certification. I'm Bob Searle, and today we've invited Rupert Howes of the Marine Stewardship Council to discuss the growing trend of eco and social certification programs and the impact they've had on creating more sustainable practices across a variety of industries. Rupert, welcome.
Many thanks, Bob. Pleasure to be here.
Can you tell us a little about the Marine Stewardship Council and what it does and its specific goals?
The Marine Stewardship Council operates the world's leading marine eco-labeling and certification program for wild capture fisheries. What we're trying to do is to create market incentives to reward and identify well-managed fisheries. What we want to do is to encourage a race to the top in global fisheries management by creating real market incentives for the best managed fisheries in the world. And we do that by operating a third-party evidence-based and science-based certification program.
So you're creating incentives for better fisheries management, this idea of a race to the top. Would you say that in general is the goal of eco and social certification programs? And do they operate in the same way as the MSC to some extent?
To some extent, yes. I mean, I think certification and labeling programs, the common feature is that they set a standard, whether it's for sort of a level of environmental performance or social performance or both, and then depending on how that certification program is structured, you know, a third-party certifier will assess whatever it is against that standard and then sort of communicate that to the marketplace. And really, I guess that the overall intention is to, you know, set the bar at a suitably high and ambitious level to identify, in this case, the fisheries that meet that standard. And as the business case for certification grows, it incentivizes, should we say, some of the less well-managed fisheries to come forward and maybe make some of the sorts of improvements that they'd need to make in order to meet an MSC certification. So in that sense, it's about rewarding fisheries that already meet best practice and an internationally recognized sustainability standard, and thereby create the incentives to bring more fisheries into the program, to bring everybody up to a recognized standard.
So as you think about those rewards and over the last 10 years or so, what progress have you seen, both for the MSC and maybe for other certification programs that you've looked at?
Now, in terms of progress, we have seen phenomenal growth, particularly over the last 2 or 3 years. We've seen a rapid uptake in terms of fisheries around the world coming into the program, to the point now that we estimate we have 8% of the global wild edible harvest is either certified or under assessment. Now, if you actually look at key species like the groundfish, the cods, the haddocks, the lings, and the hakes, we have 40% of the entire global catch certified or under assessment. If you look at wild salmon, we have 42% of every wild salmon being pulled out of the ocean is either certified or under assessment, and about 1 in 5 or 20% of spiny lobster. And as we've overcome this barrier of no supply, no market, no market, no supply, we've seen more and more retailers around the world strategically engaging with the MSC as part of their drive to demonstrate good corporate governance and social responsibility. Most notably, Walmart, the world's largest retailer, last year made a commitment to source only MSC-certified and labeled seafood for their wild capture purchases for the North American market. MSC is really working with pretty much all of the major retailers in North America, increasingly in Canada, throughout Europe, and interestingly, an expansion in Australia and Japan. And some of these retailers, for example, Sainsbury's in the UK, their guidelines to their seafood buyers, the very first question says, is this fish from an MSC-certified fishery? If yes, buy, subject to price and quality. This is really quite remarkable. We've also seen more of a strategic engagement. Just before Christmas 2007, the entire Dutch retail sector, represented by their trade association, issued a press release saying that they would go for 100% MSC within 5 years, pretty much matching the Walmart commitment. The trade association represented 99% of all Dutch retailers. And just a few weeks ago, we've seen the Dutch fishing industry, I think responsible for landings of over 80 to 90% of total landings in Holland. They've announced, in partnership with the Dutch government and the Dutch marine conservation organizations, that they will match the retailer commitment by seeking certification for all of their main fisheries. I mean, this is absolutely fantastic, and it's really a perfect illustration of what a market-based program is trying to achieve.
It sounds like you've got tremendous momentum, which is fantastic. I am struck, though, by how complex this process is and some of the challenges you talked about in terms of balancing the environmental community's interests with the interests of industry. I'd love you to talk a little bit about some of those challenges, maybe the ones I mentioned or other ones, as you and as maybe other certification schemes also face.
There are challenges, and I think in part it's down to communication and education. We are trying to engage with the global fishing industry. We have one global standard for all fisheries. And understandably, where a fishery in a particular area or country comes forward to be assessed, there may be a local NGO who would set the bar for certification at a very, very high level. If the MSC was to adopt that standard, it would probably mean that the program would lose its ability to engage more broadly with the global industry and therefore to deliver significant change on a global scale. I hasten to add, the MSC standard was developed over a two-year period. It is based on the FAO Code of Conduct for Responsible Fishing. In brief, it looks at the overall stock health. It looks at the wider environmental impacts of that fishery on the marine ecosystem, and it looks at the quality of the management regime. There is a degree of complexity below that. The independent certifier pulls together an assessment team, typically includes a fisheries biologist, a legal expert to assess the management regime, and stock assessment experts. The process is fully consistent with guidelines issued by the United Nations FAO in terms of what a credible program needs to look like. And that really revolves around the fact that it has to be third party, it has to look at science and be based on evidence, be transparent, accountable, and have a very high degree of stakeholder engagement. From the consumer's perspective, they don't need to know this amount of detail. They need to see that eco label and know that there's that fishery has been through an incredibly rigorous, often lengthy certification and assessment process.
You've mentioned a lot of different stakeholders, including nonprofits, corporations, and government. Let me ask, what do you think the most important thing nonprofits and NGOs can do to help push certification forward?
It's important for other marine conservation organizations and the nonprofit sector in general to raise awareness about the importance of third-party certification. It's only through a third-party process like the MSC that you create structures and opportunities for broader stakeholder engagement and dialogue. These organizations often have mass memberships. It's a fantastic opportunity for these groups to sort of communicate to their members and supporters that they should be looking for certified and labeled products as an effective mechanism to sort of put their money where their mouth is and to buy the most sustainable fish and fish products from fisheries that have been identified as being amongst the most sustainable and environmentally responsible in the world.
Obviously, corporations and government are key players in this. How can they help?
Well, MSC is a voluntary program. Fisheries come forward on a voluntary basis. We often don't hear about it till they enter full assessment because they might approach one of 20 accredited certifiers around the world. One section of the seafood value chain that has a huge influence is the retail sector. If they stipulate that they want third-party assurance on the sustainability of their seafood choices, that sends a very strong signal down the supply chain to encourage fisheries into the program. And that's what we're seeing now with commitments from Walmart, Marks and Spencer's, Sainsbury's, Metro, Carrefour, Aeon in Japan, Woolworths, Coles, many retailers around the world to varying degrees of building the requirement for third-party certification into their procurement policies. And this is what's resulted in this cascade of fisheries coming forward because they see a business case. Walmart has encouraged several new fisheries into the assessment process, and their message is very clear. We want third-party verification that our seafood choices are not contributing to the social and environmental problems of overfishing. You know, we want to work with you, but if you're not certified or a long way down the track within 5 years, we won't be buying your products anymore. Now, that to me is supply chain pressure of the best kind.
And moving to the end of that supply chain, what role can consumers play?
As the program has grown and as the availability of certified and labeled products has exploded, for example, we estimate now that labeled product sales are somewhere in the order of $1 billion a year, perhaps over 250 million items of MSC labeled and packaged seafood in 36 countries around the world. Now is the time that we can actually engage with end consumers, because when consumers start building up a brand loyalty and saying, yep, we want to eat seafood, but we really do want that assurance it's from a well-managed fishery, it creates this self-sustaining momentum that keeps the pressure on the retailers to put pressure down the supply chain to encourage fisheries into the program and to stay in the program. This is the way a market-based program should work, and it's good news for the environment, it's good news for the industry, and it's good news for the consumer.
Now, turning more broadly to certification, there literally are dozens of eco and social certification programs around the world, from fisheries and forests to rugs and chemicals. What's driving this trend, in your opinion?
Consumers, particularly in North America and Europe, they're becoming more aware. You know, they want to know about the sort of provenance of the products they're buying, not just food, but non-food products, you know, such as timber and clothing. I think the internet's helped greatly here, that people recognize that their purchasing power can actually be a force for good and can encourage and indeed catalyze more sustainable approaches to economic development. Or if not used wisely, their purchasing power can do the exact opposite. And I think this is really almost like a collective consciousness change going on in some of the major markets around the world. And once this starts, it's not going to stop. I think this trend is here to stay. And we've seen huge growth in the European market for organic products and trust in third-party certifications and labels. We've seen that with timber. And in Europe, where we're most developed, we're seeing this with seafood. It's estimated in the UK market now that there's a 20% end consumer recognition for the MSC label, and a number of retailers have said that their consumers recognize it and ask for it in store. So I think this is going to spread. It's going to become more widespread in North America and Asia, and it's basically the markets are going to have to take sustainability into account.
Well, and the MSC certainly has seen that same kind of growth, with 30 certified fisheries, another 72 undergoing assessment, and an estimated 30 to 50 in confidential pre-assessment. You've seen an acceleration of fisheries, particularly commercially important ones, coming forward. To what do you attribute that growth?
Well, it's sort of chicken and egg. You know, is it the market and the demand pull from the retail sector? Is it the supply push from a growing amount of sustainable seafood supplies becoming available to the market? I think it's a bit of both, and it's reflecting the sort of corporate social responsibility debate and the fact that, you know, commercial entities around the world are recognizing increasingly that sustainability is a business risk issue, it's a business opportunity, and that ultimately economic activity has to take place within ecological limits. And whether it's developing waste management and energy reduction programs, carbon mitigation, measurement and offset programs, sustainable seafood procurement is just another facet of that broader desire to shift our economic systems onto a more sustainable footing. In relation to seafood, I think there's been a huge interest and growing awareness, in part from a lot of media coverage on the plight of global fisheries. Some fairly worrying statistics from the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization on the state of global fisheries over recent years, and a recognition that as we head from a population of 6 billion to 9 billion people, this wonderful renewable resource is under more pressure than it's ever been before. And therefore, it's imperative that we do ensure that these fish stocks are managed sustainably for this and future generations.
Now, in our 2004 white paper, Moving Eco-Certification Mainstream, we identified three critical steps that successful certification programs were engaging in. First, meeting, not creating a receptive market. Second, pushing, not just setting the standards. And three, creating an attractive value proposition for suppliers. In what ways has your experience at MSC been consistent with or contrary to those findings?
It's quite hard to answer because I think the specifics matter in different countries and regions. MSC, in contrast to groups like the Forestry Stewardship Council, you know, we have one standard. We have a global standard for sustainably managed fisheries. And seafood is the most highly traded primary commodity in the world. And half of that's coming from the developing world, where really there are no receptive markets. Eco-labels are in their infancy, if in existence at all. But we started in Europe, in Northern Europe, and I think your point one about having a receptive market is very true. German, Dutch, and British consumers are seen as being some of the most demanding when it comes to the sort of social and environmental credentials of their sort of purchasing decisions. And having that receptive market and some leading seafood businesses who could sort of read the writing on the wall, as it were, in which way this trend was going, I think helped to bring the initial fishers into the program and to bring the initial products to market. Now, it has taken us a decade, really, of hard work, of learning by doing, of improving our processes, and slowly growing and outreaching and engaging to see the sort of exponential growth that we've had in the last 2 or 3 years. But clearly that receptive European market was a strong factor. In terms of the standard was developed over a two-year, very sort of participatory, engaged way. And in many senses, a lot of the MSC's outreach is about advocacy. It is about raising awareness of the issue in terms of the state of world's fisheries and explaining about the standard and how the program works. So there is very much a sort of outreach, communication, awareness, raising function that isn't so much pushing the standard, but it's engaging people, getting them to understand what the program is about. And that, in turn, builds support for suppliers. The theory is that, you know, the label will confer an advantage in the marketplace. And I think we're now seeing that. I think there is a genuine business case. But again, it's taken us a decade to get here. We now have certified fisheries that are actually charging a premium for certified products over non-certified products. That hasn't always been the case. And clearly, certification on its own is no guarantee that you'll get a price advantage. But there's a strong evidence base to suggest that with more and more buyers saying, we want third-party verification, at the very least, certification enables you to meet your existing buyers' demands and expectations. For those who really want to use it, we've seen clear evidence that some fisheries are actually winning new markets through their certification. And as I've said, there are some price premiums there. All of this has contributed to the growth that we're seeing. There's a growing business case. We've got far greater support now from a broad range of NGOs who can now see that MSC is driving and catalyzing real change as the ecological case becomes more apparent. So our hope, clearly, is that we'll create this self-sustaining momentum of demand pull from the market and supply push as more fisheries come forward. But this is really a project of decades. It is about trying to catalyze a shift in an entire economic sector to get it onto a more sustainable footing. I think the MSC has demonstrated over the last 10 years, but over the last 3 years in particular, that a credible, robust, stakeholder-engaged certification labeling program can make a difference. But to reiterate my points right at the beginning, you know, we cannot buy ourselves out of any environmental issues. We will still always need sound public policy and enforcement of that policy and a range of activities from other entities involved in awareness raising, campaigning, and promoting policy advocacy.
Well, Rupert, it's been great to hear about your experience at MSC and get your perspective on what's going on in the certification area, and also to hear about the momentum that MSC is experiencing. Last question, where do you see the certification concept evolving from here?
I think we've seen in North America and Europe and in Japan a real thirst and understanding of the concept of labeling and certification. Consumers understand the concept and are very, very supportive. In my own country, in the UK, you know, we've seen the Soil Association grow from a very small fringe group to really becoming sort of mainstream with very high levels of sales and a huge brand recognition and support and loyalty. I think third-party certification is going to become embedded across the sort of product portfolio from, you know, food to non-food products, and it's going to become part and parcel of doing business. I think that there's a danger if we see a proliferation of too many labels that you can get confusion, particularly in relation to a single product. So we might see further down the line some sort of attempts to consolidate and have a sort of super eco or sustainability label that encompasses a number of facets. But we're not there yet, bearing in mind the diversity of labels and programs and the sorts of things that they're trying to assess and certify against. But that might be something that comes along down the track.
Well, Rupert, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a real pleasure, and you're welcome.
And thank you to our audience for listening today. For more Bridgespan Group podcasts, be sure to visit www.bridgespan.org.